It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 8th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. As the Olympic Games in Rio continue this week, one special elite team will be engaging in a high-stress, high-speed activity. I'm talking about the people at Getty Images who distribute the photos and this year the virtual reality or VR images of athletes doing their thing out into the world at lightning speeds. Ken Menardis is VP of Sport Imagery for Getty. Hi, Ken. A high-speed cable network is at the core of all this?
Right. I mean, when we're planning this thing, that is the sort of main and most complex elements of the project. We start planning this about 7 years ago. I was in Copenhagen the night that Rio was awarded the Games, and conversations started that very night. And since then, we've negotiated and installed a network. And what that means is that we're able to take key moments of action from the exact precise moment the photographer takes the image to when it arrives with our customers around the world in as little as 120 seconds.
Can you tell me more about robotic cameras that you're using in Rio?
Absolutely. So we've been working with a partner in France to devise this incredibly sophisticated robotic rig that will sit under the water in the pool for the entire swimming event. And, you know, you can track athletes as if you were lying on your back at the bottom of the pool in the scuba gear. So, you know, you're able to really create the wow factor.
The camera swivels a little bit?
So the camera does everything it does as if you were holding it. So it moves through 360 degrees. You can adjust the zoom. You can adjust the focus. So, you know, it's fully controllable as if you were holding it.
All right, push it forward for me. What are you excited about using in 2020? How is that VR stuff going to change in Tokyo?
Japan is the home of a very exciting technology developments in these areas. And so I'm sure we're going to see new and very exciting ways of reading immersive photography.
Ken Menardis, he is VP of Sport Imagery for Getty Images, and he is in Rio for the Olympic Games. Ken, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
By the way, NBC and the IOC have put forth a special rule for Rio, no gifts. Something tells me that's going to be a tough one to enforce. Last week, we learned that the White House is considering sanctions against Russia for allegedly stealing and then leaking documents and correspondence belonging to the Democratic National Committee. This isn't the first time sanctions for hacking have come up. That saber has also been rattled at China in recent years. August Cole is senior fellow at the think tank called the Atlantic Council. He says hacks that have messed with our election process are being taken very seriously.
So in a sense, we are at the threshold of the first election that's been directly impacted by cyber spying. And I think U.S. officials are realizing this certainly won't be the last, and they need to do something to deter actors like Russia or, for that matter, China.
But there's always the question of whether sanctions work.
If you think about the effectiveness of any sanction, it's really a tough question to link a restricted movement of a senior official or barring the importation of a certain good or material to an actual outcome.
And another thing, it's tricky for the U.S. to go after other countries for hacking because, you know, pot, meat, kettle.
It's important to remember that we also hack too, and our allies do as well. And we have to be very careful about getting into a tit-for-tat situation where you see an escalation at the legal level.
August Cole, senior fellow at the Atlantic Council and also the author of Ghost Fleet, a novel about a cyber world war with China and Russia. Home-sharing site Airbnb can now be credited with having palpable impact on the movements of people and a financial impact on individuals and communities. The company's moves in a small town in Japan might still be surprising. There, Airbnb is expanding its footprint by getting involved in a new type of building project. Cliff Kwong has been reporting on this as Director of Product Innovation at Fast Company. Hi, Cliff. Thanks for chatting.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell me what Airbnb is doing here in this Japanese town.
So in this town called Yoshino, Airbnb has essentially partnered with the community to build a community center that will double as a place that visitors can stay. So the idea is that it becomes a living room for the community where people can go and talk about local planning issues and whatnot, but that visitors might actually walk into and actually watch the factory workers from a chopstick factory and a sake factory talk about their lives, right? The idea is to insinuate the traveler in the actual experience of the community.
Urban planning often involves working with a municipality. That hasn't always worked very well for Airbnb. Why are they leaning into this?
Well, so here's the thing that, right, this may be urban planning, but it also has an element of marketing to it, right?
Yeah.
If they do this, they plan on potentially rolling this idea out to other towns in Japan, to other towns in places like Spain and Italy that are seeing the same aging populations and seeing the same sort of hollowing out of their small towns, right? Mm. Those are all small towns that would love to have too many visitors to them. And, you know, it can't hurt Airbnb both to diversify the number of locations that they are actually accessible to and actually to change the narrative about what Airbnb means in the communities that it goes into.
Is this a natural shift for the company?
Well, you know, it depends on who you ask, right? If you ask Joe Gebbia, one of the co-founders of the company, I think that he would say, like, look, we have our core business figured out. And if we are complacent for too long, then somebody else is just going to build that core business. And then you're just going to sort of be competing as the kind of the old guy, you know, against the new upcoming player, right?
You and never want to be that the happen. Old guy.
And we've seen that happen so many times over and over. And before there was Google, there was Alta Vista. I think that they would argue that unless they're actively trying to redefine where their revenue comes from, what kind of business they are,
yeah,
then they have this danger of becoming an also-ran.
Cliff Kwong, his story about Airbnb is in Fast Company. Cliff, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.